Hello, everyone, and welcome into Talking Puck. That's right, we are dropping another podcast on you right now, a topic that I feel is very timely, prevalent right now in a lot of discussion, and no, it's not the playoffs, it's the exact opposite. Teams that are not going to make the playoffs, and fan bases, do you want your team to tank? Do you not want your team to tank? Are you okay with it? Are you not okay with it? Jay Levin joining me, as he always does, and we're going to talk about this. So as we get ready to go here, Jay, I'm going to open up by saying I have really no problem with teams, quote unquote, tanking. And by that, I mean bringing up some of the younger guys, looking at what else they have on the roster, maybe not playing some players. You know what? At the end of the day, this is all a mathematical formula. No one is guaranteed to ever win a first overall pick because of the way the lottery is set up. It's only a percentage chance increase if you finish last, second to last, wherever you may finish. So, I mean, if teams feel that somehow by plummeting to the bottom that they are going to get the advantage and they're going to get the number one overall pick, number one, I'm fine with that. Number two, especially if they're doing it under the guise of looking at what else they have in the cupboard, because I think you need to do that from time to time to fairly assess what you're going to do. And number three, even if you do get the number one overall pick several years in a row, Edmonton Oilers, I'm looking at you, it doesn't guarantee that you're going to make the right moves and be able to find a way to win. Now, teams do. Chicago, Pittsburgh are two very recent examples of teams that went to the bottom and then rose up to the top. And so I'm okay with it. I don't really have a big problem with it. I know a lot of people do, but I just don't think it really hurts anything because you're not guaranteeing yourself a number one anyway.
Tom, I don't like tanking. I mean, I think, you know, all of us grew up playing sports growing up like that. There's a sportsmanlike way of going about things. And, you know, I think, you know, going out there with an objective other than to win just doesn't seem sportsmanlike. And I think that's what you get in many cases. And it's not unique to the NHL. I mean, the NBA might be about as egregious as any sport when it comes to tanking. So I've got an issue with tanking at, you know, just in general, but I've worked for pro sports teams. You've worked for pro sports teams. We know what goes on, and you know, I mean, it's one of the first things, you know, if you're in one of those years and your team gets eliminated from the playoffs, you do start looking at draft positioning and you start looking at how do you put yourself in the best position to get the best draft pick possible. So I understand why it goes on. I just don't like that it goes on. If that makes sense.
I don't know that you can convince me there's another sport quite like the NBA in which one player can make that big of a difference. Cause quite honestly, in the NBA, one dominant superstar can indeed make a huge difference. I don't know that you have that in the NHL. I don't know that you have that really in any other sport that I can think of that's got a draft. But I mean, that said, okay, so from a sportsman-like topic, I mean, okay, so what about, and honestly, two things come to mind. Number one, it's a business. And anybody who really doesn't think that big league sports or even college athletics is a business, I beg to differ with you. It is a business. And so to that end, you have to figure out as an owner, how are you going to get the money back out of your business?
And I completely understand. And I agree with you, you know, from the ownership standpoint, from the team building standpoint, from, you know, the franchise development standpoint and the business side of things. Yes. I mean, it's okay. We're not going to achieve the ultimate goals this year of winning the championship. We're not even making the playoffs. How do we put ourselves in the best position to accomplish that next year, 2 years, 3 years down the line? You know, so I understand that aspect of it. And I understand that it rests some veteran players and see if you've got some diamond in the rough in the AHL level, or try to work some younger players into the lineup so they get a little bit of a taste for playing in the NHL before you want them to star, try to drop towards the bottom of the standings to get a better draft pick. I understand the business aspect of it, but I mean, do you not have an issue with it from a sportsmanlike and from a sporting perspective?
Well, if I'm a prospect who's getting a chance to play in a National Hockey League game or getting 5 or 10 games, that's thrilling. That's great. I'm glad to be getting this opportunity. Honestly, we talk about sportsmanship. We talk about, this is the problem. And look, do I want everything to be held to a nice lofty ideal and be perfect? Absolutely. But I just don't believe that's the case, especially with pro sports. And I mean, when we're all kids, yeah, it'd be nice if everybody was sportsmanlike then, but they're not. You know, people cheat, people get accused of things, whether it's performance-enhancing drugs or whatever. But, and that's another topic. I'm not going to go off on that tangent. But I just think if you're going out there and you have your team, if I, Tom Callahan, own the new Seattle franchise, and for the first 3 years, I want to play my youngsters and get good draft position and continue to stockpile the cupboard, I should be able to do that. That's how I want to run my organization. If I'm in a position to win, I'm not doing this. Let's be clear. I am not doing this. I am in a position to win. I'm going for it, and I'm putting everything I can into going for it. But if I'm not in a position to win, and I know that, then I have to figure out what's best for my franchise as far as how can we get better. And again, I'm just thinking of this, again, business standpoint, ownership standpoint. It's just, you know, even management, if that's what you want to do and that's your way to go about it. And the reason I think I'm so okay with it, Jay, is because at the end of the day, it really does not guarantee you anything. And we saw that a couple of years ago.
But it also hurts the teams that are trying to compete for the playoffs, right? Like, you're the Minnesota Wild. You're right there, lockstep with Arizona. You know, you're back and forth battling with them. Arizona, late in the season, plays L.A., who's suddenly now tanking. Well, how's that fair to you if you're Minnesota, you're Dallas, you know, trying to hold off Arizona for a better wild card spot? And here, like, you've got a team that otherwise would have had perhaps a challenging game against a full-strength L.A. Now L.A. decides to tank and doesn't play half its players. I mean, that's not a good look for the league. That doesn't help your playoff races down the stretch. It skews your potential strength of schedule because teams aren't out to try to win. I mean, I understand why that team is making the business decision for itself, but it's not good for the league as a whole when a team tries to tank.
I think if you're expecting a 58-point Los Angeles team, which they are through 71 games, they're 25-38-8, or Ottawa, 56 points, 25-41-6, right? Those are your 1-2 worst teams. Is Ottawa really going to put up more of a fight than they would ordinarily? Do you expect them to win? Okay, both teams have won 25 games this year, but I just don't. I understand what you're saying, because if you're, you know, trying to catch the Sharks, let's say, and you're Vegas, and you get a string of cream puffs, and you're able to overtake them because of that, whereas the Sharks maybe finished with a tough schedule. I think Sharks fans would have a legitimate gripe to a certain extent, but, I mean, at the same time, when they make out the schedule at the beginning of the year, with maybe the exception of Ottawa, I don't know that they were looking at the Kings or Detroit or New Jersey, especially, Anaheim. Are these guys going to be that bad? I don't know that they're taking that into consideration, the schedule makers. They really are looking at rivalries and trying to set matchups.
Which, again, is my point. It should not make a difference, but because teams are tanking at the end of the year, it does make a difference. I mean, L.A., yeah, you point to how much they've struggled, but they're 2-6-2 in their last 10 because they don't care. They're done. You know, Ottawa, same thing. Like, they're 3-6-1. Detroit, 2-7-1. Buffalo, 2-7-1. You know, this is all coinciding with the point, you know, with about the point in time when these teams were, if not mathematically eliminated, were theoretically eliminated from contention, and now are turning towards next year. I mean, you know, Buffalo was a top team at the beginning of the year. Now, if just by the luck of the schedule maker, you get them more down the stretch than you did pre-Thanksgiving, you know, you're getting a much easier team than the team who had to play them before Thanksgiving or before Christmas time.
Buffalo was never going to be a playoff team this year. I said that at the beginning of the year. They won 10 in a row or whatever it was. Great. Good for them. They were never going to be that team. But, okay, Jay, how about this, though? If there's one team that shouldn't be tanking, it's Ottawa, because they don't even get their first overall pick. Colorado does, if it ends up that Ottawa gets it, which we could talk about that till we're blue in the face. But, if you're Ottawa, so does that make you care more? Does it make you care less? Does it just make you shake your head? Does it matter? You know,
you're still looking at your positioning in the second round. You're still looking at other things, you know, like that. There's no incentive right now for Ottawa to try. And you see that they are tanking. I mean, yes, it's a strange set of circumstances where they don't have their own first pick. But I mean, but still, like, putting an incentive in place for teams to tank, just it's not good for the integrity of the league down the stretch. That, you know, that's just my feeling.
Oh, and no, I'm not putting an incentive in there.
Well,
I don't want to incentivize this.
But the leagues are by tying in, you know, your chances at getting the first overall draft pick, so you're incentivized to lose down the stretch.
All right, so we're going to, obviously Jay and I are not going to agree on this, folks. But, however, I believe that Jay has a clever solution to this problem of are teams incentivized to lose down the stretch or not. And, Jay, you were rolling this out earlier to me, actually, in great detail. So I would like you to unveil what we're going to call the Levin Cup, maybe? I don't know. We gotta come up with a name for this that properly honors you as its creator.
Well, I think perhaps the Bettman Cup, you know, as the commissioner, you know, try to give a nod towards the league to try to maybe incentivize them to move on an idea like this.
Yeah,
but,
maybe.
This may be better off as a more detailed conversation another time, but my basic idea would be take all of the non-playoff teams, throw them into a double elimination tournament at the end of the year. Winner gets the first overall pick. Runner-up gets the second overall pick. You can even do, you know, a third place game for picks 3 and 4, and then picks 5 from there are based on regular season standings. That way, yes, once teams are eliminated, they're probably not going to be as incentivized to play hard as they were when they were still in it, but that there's less incentive to try to tank down the stretch because you're not tied into getting a better odds at the number one, number two, number three overall pick. You actually then have to go out and win the right to get that top pick on the ice. And there's some interesting things I think you could do around this tournament that I think, you know, could be a good long conversation for another day.
Well, so, and you know, let's get into just a couple of those things. And if we ever come back to visit it, but I think this is a good forum to get it out there. You're talking about maybe sending them overseas, promoting, whether it's NHL Europe or NHL China or Asia incentives. And I also want to ask you about, so you can feel free to address either one of these first. Okay, what about people who are going to say, well, that just favors playoff bubble teams who don't make it. They should be much better than Ottawa, LA, Detroit, etc.
Well, you know, there are a couple things. One, yes, I do think, you know, the league is looking at different ways to grow its branding. It really, you know, it has made a strong push to try to improve its footprint in Europe. You see them playing some games over in Europe, whether preseason or even a couple of regular season games. The league has come out strongly about its desire to break into especially the China market and tap into the viewership there. I mean, the TV numbers, not the raw ratings, but the number of viewers on the NHL international feed during the Stanley Cup Finals dwarfs the North American totals. So, I mean, you've got a lot of viewers out there. I think if you play games in front of them, you'll be able to kind of strengthen that bond with them, break into, I mean, just on the socioeconomic level, I mean, China's such a strong emerging market, be able to break into there, be able to strengthen your bond with a lot of your European partners by playing games that actually kind of mean something. And, you know, in front of them, in their home countries. That I think would be the benefits of taking a tournament like this, moving it overseas, especially, you know, when you look at the IIHF and it trying to grow some of its branding through the World Championships. If you've got U.S. and Canadian players who are already over in Europe to participate in this, a lot easier for Team USA and USA Hockey and for Hockey Canada and Team Canada to go and ask them to stay over there and play some games. You know, rather than, as you know, Tom, these national programs get turned down by a lot of guys who just want to end the season, don't want to deal with the travel to Europe for the World Championships. So this potentially opens up a larger pool for those, as well as giving a strong set of games for a lot of the European or Chinese partners to be able to see firsthand.
Okay, so what about the argument that it would favor the Philadelphia Montreals of the world, who are over 500 teams, playoff bubble teams, but don't actually make that cut?
Well, you know, one of the things, again, you know, you've seen this firsthand. Teams, as soon as they're eliminated from the playoffs, usually there's that 7, 10, 12-day lull where the adrenaline isn't flowing as high, and they kind of aren't playing at as high of a level as they were while they were still involved. So teams that get eliminated late might still be going through some of that fog as a tournament like this has started, where a team like LA this year, or, you know, a team like Ottawa this year that's been eliminated, can refocus itself down the stretch and can use, you know, the final 5-7 games of the regular season to, you know, to block out how bad the rest of the season has been and start focusing in on what it takes to win a short tournament. And again, like, you get a one game winner take all kind of situation, and, you know, funky things happen, right?
Well, yeah, you really never know what you're going to get in any tournament. A goalie heats up. It's like the playoffs, you know, a goalie heats up, a power play becomes indestructible. You never know who could come out on top and, I guess, steal a top pick. But, and, you know, it's funny just kind of looking at things right now. For instance, the Chicago Blackhawks have been up and down all year. They were mostly down, but now they're hot again. You know, would a team like that be able to, with the star power they have, aging star power though it is, go in and maybe come out with a top pick? Does that vault them right back into the conversation in a tight central division? Absolutely it does. I think that's plenty of incentive for anybody going over there to compete in that tournament.
Right. I mean, so a lot of incentive there, a lot of, you know, people here in Nashville kind of know, and we joked about a lot during this player's tenure in Nashville about playoff Colin Wilson. You know, some guys just seem to play a little bit better when, you know, when you get them in a tournament or a playoff type setting. And I mean, this is an opportunity for some of those guys to emerge again. And, you know, that gives them an extra bargaining chip when it comes to free agency or when it comes to new contract negotiation.
Joel Ward's another one.
Yes. You know, Joel Ward, John Drews, you know, is one of the historical reference points there.
Always my favorite, John Drews.
You know, I mean, so you can get a guy who all of a sudden just has a red hot tournament and changes a lot of the value for him, you know, or if you're a team that is eliminated early, you know, you're a team like Ottawa, you bring up a couple of young players and all of a sudden, you know, maybe a young line clicks in a tournament like this and you start looking and you feel maybe a little bit more comfortable about what you've got moving forward because you see some sparks in, you know, in an extra set of games that mean something. GMs, coaches are always talking about playoff performers. You know, this gives you a chance to perhaps see what a player plays like in that type of environment and perhaps, you know, changes some decisions in terms of how you build your franchise moving forward.
All right. Well, folks, if you want to chime in on Twitter, he is at Bowtie Sports. I'm at Callahan On Air. We would love to hear from you and talk about this a little more. Do you think tanking's good? Is it not good? Do you care one way or the other? I think a postseason tournament would be great. I would really, more hockey is always good for me. I'm always on board with that. So, Jay, any final thoughts you want to leave us with on this one?
Well, you know, one other potential topic of conversation with this to potentially think about is what does this do to the trade deadline? I mean, if you're a team that's out of the playoff race, do you trade a guy for a fifth or sixth round pick if that guy can potentially help you in a draft pick tournament down the line earn the number one overall pick? How do you play out some of your trades there at the deadline? What does that do to trade values? And what does that do to decisions that the GMs make, you know, when it comes to the deadline? If you're eyeing perhaps a different option there at the end of the year. Just some more food for thought and something to think about.
My knee jerk is I feel like that would kill a lot of the excitement around the trade deadline, but it might not. Who knows? Maybe you see those more teams trying to quote unquote go for it who are bubble teams and maybe it drives more insanity at the deadline. Who knows? So Jay, always good stuff. Always good to hear from you. And yeah, we'll look forward to seeing what happens coming down the stretch here. But you know what? If you're Colorado, you've got to feel pretty good about your chances for the number one pick.
Well, Tom, it's good catching up with you as always. And yeah, Colorado, big fans of whoever's playing Ottawa most nights.
There you go. All right, everybody, check us out online, talkingpuck.com. He is at Bowtie Sports. Jay Levin. I am at Callahan On Air. Tom Callahan, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again soon.